What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Cabote, the podcast, the coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And one of the things that we all want to do is have a thriving business. I mean, who doesn't want to have a thriving business that makes all this money, that allows you to live the lifestyle you want to live? Who doesn't want that? So that's why in this episode, we're going to share with you how you can have a thriving business. And if you feel like you're struggling right now with your business, we're going to help you do that transition and give you some pointers and strategies along the way. So our special guest who joins us today, he is a creator, best-selling author, and podcast host of The 10 Factor. And using his 10-month success blueprint, he helps consultants and entrepreneurs create a thriving business around their ideal lifestyle. So our guest on Breakthrough Success right now is none other than Tim Michael. Tim, welcome to the show.
Mark, awesome. Awesome to be here today.
Tim, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And just for people wondering at home or in their car, wherever you're listening to us on this episode, I wonder if you could give us some context as to what the 10 factor is all about and how it came to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me preface it by saying, number one, thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here. Hopefully give your listeners some good value today. And like you said, everybody wants to thrive, right? And we live in a society where people are leaving their jobs every single day to create the dream and get started. And I guess, and we'll talk about it, but I didn't realize when I left my job after 12 years, how blessed I was to have 12 years of experience with a 100-year-old company that had gone through the Great Depression and had sustained some of the big wars and things that really hit the country and hit business and changed the scope of how we do things. So I feel like I started ahead of a lot of other entrepreneurs who just kind of throw everything in, go out there and see what sticks. And they realize later on, oh my gosh, I don't know anything about business. Mm-hmm. So I had that feather in my cap going in, but I took it for granted. And then years later, it kind of came back. And that's what kind of led to the 10 factor. So what happened was I did what about a quarter of people do that go to school. I went to college, got my degree in engineering, went out and actually used my degree. So there's less than 25% actually do that. I did that for a dozen years. Had a really, really good job with a really good company that had a national presence, had 20-some offices around the country, a couple thousand employees. And I was in the corporate management side of it. And I was basically on the fast climb up the shallow slope, if that makes sense. So there was a long ways to the top. And I was moving as fast as I could. But the light at the end of the tunnel was too far down the road for me. So as a result, what happened was I developed my life, moved on. At that point, I was in my late 20s. Life took a turn when I met the girl that would end up being my wife, and then I would have the children down the road, and things started to change a little bit. I had spent some time traveling. At one point, I had a place on the East Coast and the West Coast because I was doing work out on the West Coast, and I still had a residence here on the East Coast, and that was all well and good when I was young. But then as I started to move further into life and the values were the same, but what I was living for started to change, I realized that that's not where I want to be. So I started to get this itch, and that was about 7 years into the 12 where I said, okay, something's got to change here. So the problem was I wasn't making enough money at that job to pay for two incomes, and we were trying to create a traditional life where my wife would stay at home, and it wasn't my wife yet, but where she would stay at home and where I would go out and I would earn enough money to cover the entire income for the family, and that just wasn't happening. So I toyed around with it. We talked, we hemmed and hawed, and eventually I started this side business. And the side business kind of started to take off. And here we are, it's 2007 is when I started that. And in 2008, about 15 months in, I got this call. It was a Friday afternoon. We were in the process of trying to have our first child. And we had been married in a couple of years before that. So we were working through the process of building that family. And boss said, hey, we're shipping you up to New York. And here I'm in Baltimore. Friday afternoon. I said, when do I have to go? He says, well, you have to go Monday. You have to be there Monday. So I was in the contracting business. I was doing an emergency department at a hospital here locally in Baltimore that was kind of winding down, and they had a problem job, and I had been promised to come up there and be the fixer. So I asked the questions that a more seasoned person would ask. The first question was, okay, when do I have to be there? And, you know, Monday. Second question was, have I already been committed? As in my name, my resume has gone to this owner and I am the guy, right? He says, yep. Then the next question was, How many hours a day is the job working? Well, 24 hours a day, which in my business, that was normal at that point in one of those jobs. And how many days a week? 7. So questions are going. I'm getting these quick answers. So my next question was, okay, so how often do I get to come home? And it was this pause.
Right.
So at that point, I'm like, okay. So I already knew the answer to that. Once I was there, I was there and pulling out and coming home. And that was absolutely the worst time in our life for me to be on the road.
Right.
At that point. So I did something I had never done in 12 years. I pushed back and said, I can't go. And here my boss, who had been my boss for years, said, what do you mean you can't go? So I can't. I've got things that are keeping me here. At that point, they knew nothing about this side business because I had done everything offline, had made sure I kept myself clean, had my own vehicle, had my own phone, had my own computer, had everything was done separately, done nights and weekends to make sure that when this conversation happened, if it happened, I wasn't going to be that guy who got caught robbing Peter to pay Paul. So anyway, said, hey, I've got a business. I've had a business for a year and a half. Obviously, it hasn't affected my job because you didn't know anything about it. But I can't go because I have contracts here. I'm committed. Not going to happen. So that led to very quickly, I could go on and on about the story, but the gist of it is pretty quickly after that, I ended up giving my notice and took that jump and I turned that side business into my full-time deal. So needless to say, in 2008, I took my last paycheck. And what happened was that was April. In August of that year, I brought my wife home from work. And then in October, my first daughter was born. So we kind of wrote that story the way that I had scripted it out in my mind. It couldn't have gone any better. But that was the good part. Then life set in. We got through the honeymoon period. So I grew a business really fast. And I sustained that business for a lot of years and became a statistic, not a statistic that went out of business, but a statistic that stayed in business. Because most entrepreneurs are going to fail. There's the 1-year failures, the 3-year failures, and then about 97 or 98% never make it to the 10-year part. So I was there. We did that already. Then we went through this nasty deal where I got myself involved in a project that we did a couple years worth of work, and on the back end, we ended up not getting paid. And when that happened, it put me in a position where we had invested so much resource-wise from my company that was work that was already done that I thought it was going to bankrupt us. So here I was at that point in time. Now, fast forward in my life, a decade, just moved into a new house. Actually, the office I'm sitting in now is my home office. It wasn't even unpacked yet. It was December. It was about a week before Christmas. Had twins on the way that were due at the end of January. Had this house, had the kids coming, and I found out I'm not getting paid all this money. So my life went upside down. So I became, in my mind, I went from being the statistic of being in business to, oh my gosh, we might be the statistic of being out of business.
Right.
So I, at that point in time, I remember sitting in this very chair and I got up. My wife was sitting over in the dining room and I walked up and I said, hey, I think I got to get a job. And anybody that's an entrepreneur knows that that's like putting your head between your legs. And it's the feeling of ultimate failure.
Wow. How'd you get through that?
Well, I told her, I said, but I don't think I can get a job. Because the problem is if I get a job, I'll never be able to dig us out of this rut that we're in financially. So we're in a catch-22 here. Right. I said, so you got to let me try to figure this out. So we kind of had that moment where you look at each other and kind of the nod and went back into my office and I sat down and pulled out a legal pad and started writing down some notes. And it took me about 10 seconds and I walked back out. I was like, there's no way in hell. Because it's not going to work. I said, so I'm going to fix this thing. And that was the first step of the 10 factor. So that's what I call the 10 second test. And that's the gut reaction of what you're going to do. And my gut reaction right then and there was I am getting out of this business and I'm moving into something else because the stars are aligning. This is not where I want to be. So then what happened was we revisited the conversation about 10 minutes later. So you have the 10-second test, and that leads to the 10-minute dream statement. And then I'm still not sure, as I look back on that day, how I did this. But somehow I put everything away, and I went back to my day. And I just went ahead, and I went about my business. And I came back to it that night, and it kind of shelved some of the emotion. And that's what I call that's the 10-hour reflection. So that's where you go, okay, so I'm not going to just go out there and do something that I'm going to regret. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to let it settle. I'm going to sleep on it maybe, and I'm going to come back. So when a client comes to me as a new client in the coaching end, I work with them on that through that process. If somebody reads my book, they're walked through that process. And that's what kicks off the first step of the 10 factor, which is focus, which is figuring out where you want to be. And this takes, that's just the beginning. It takes about a month, but where you want to be and then figuring out how to line up the steps to get there. And ultimately writing your story before it happens from the business end. And then we take you backwards and reverse engineer your success. So we go from the beginning stages where you're trying to figure out, what do I want to do? Where do I want to be? And there's three main pieces to that. So the first one is, am I already, or do I have the ability to become an expert, to be good enough to do this at a pro level and hopefully be the best that there is in the industry at it? Number one. Number two, do I enjoy it? Because I have learned through the years and talking with other people and through my own experiences, if you don't enjoy it, it's not going to be sustainable long term, unless you can 100% delegate it and just become like a silent business owner, which is a whole different realm. And then the third thing is, can I make money at it? Because you can't lead with money, but money is a necessary piece of the puzzle. So if you can get those three things in place to figure out, can I be an expert? Do I enjoy it? And can I make money at it? And if you can get those three things to align, that's the beginning stages of setting up your success. And then it's just a matter of, it's fairly black and white of putting the pieces in place in a logical, methodical order that you take each baby step along the way and you basically build your success and you create the foundation, which is the basis, just like building a house, building the basement and putting the footings in the ground, working your way up to the upper floors and then putting the roof on and then scaling. And that's really what the program does. So that's what the 10 factor does. It walks somebody through a 10-month program to do that. And what's so unique about it from my point of view is that success is very much in the eye of the beholder. And I allow you as you walk through the program to have checks and balances along the way where you can decide, how far do I want to press this? You know, does my family want somebody that's going to work 50 or 60 hours a week? Or does my family want somebody that's going to work 20 hours a week? You can make those adjustments along the way. So you really are truly building out the life. And that's where we talk about lifestyle, because so many entrepreneurs create a business and then they build a life around their business. What we try to do is we try to define what is that life, and then build a business that works with that life, which is realistic if you do it in the right order.
Coming up in the interview, we're going to talk about, for people who they feel like they haven't been able to accomplish their goals and they maybe doubted themselves or struggled through the process, we're going to talk about how to boost your confidence so you're able to reverse engineer and feel like you're able to get the work done and then actually get the work done. So that's what we're going to talk about coming up soon. But first, I want to mention a great resource that can help you with any of your goals, and that resource is Skillshare. Skillshare has about 30,000 training courses now that really take a deep dive into such a variety of subjects, things like marketing, things like finance, but also non-business things. So there's so much that Skillshare offers, and they're giving you 2 free months to their platform of courses. It's really the Netflix of learning. So if you're interested in 2 free months, just use the coupon code Breakthrough, or just go to skillshare.com/breakthrough to learn more. We'll throw that in the show notes. Anyway, let's get right back into this episode where we're going to talk about boosting confidence. So when you do map out the reverse engineering, you feel like you can accomplish the goals that you have in front of you. And I like that reversed order, because people feel like they have to make X amount of dollars to have the lifestyle they want. But I feel like if you crunch into the numbers, like one person who I know, like he's not thinking about making like millions of dollars. He just wants to make 5,000 passive per month because that's what his lifestyle would be ideal for based on what he's trying to do. So if you look at the end goal for like being in business, being an entrepreneur for a lot of people is the lifestyles. And I don't feel like enough of us are, as Tim mentioned, it's like really thinking about that lifestyle, how we want to live, and then like knowing what we have to do for the business. Because for some people, I mean, like Gary Vaynerchuk, example I like to use, he likes to work 16, 18 hours a day. That works for him. That makes him happy. But for someone else, it may be 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week that makes you happy. You feel like you got your work done. You feel like you're able to live your lifestyle. So definitely something really important to think about. And I like the reverse engineering Tim also mentioned. That is something that will help in anything you're trying to do. But one of the things that I do want to tackle is that there are some people who maybe they've set visions before and they haven't reached them, or they've set a goal and they haven't hit it. And I feel like for the people struggling in business, like it's harder for them to reverse engineer and figure out what they have to do and actually feel confident in themselves. So for someone who's struggling in business, what's your advice on boosting the confidence so that they reverse engineer then feel like they can make it happen?
Well, let me do this. Let me talk about something I did in my own business first, and then I'll talk about everybody else. And I'll try to do my piece quickly. So when the rubber met the road and we went through that payment issue back in 2015, I was in a position where I was in panic mode is probably the best analogy to use, where I physically could not do what I was doing before and get myself out of the hole. My life under roof was getting ready to go through a drastic change with two more kids on the way. My financial resources were drastically depleted, and I was in a position where I had to figure out, okay, I have to do something here. So I went all the way back to the drawing board to when I first left corporate and my business exploded out of the gates. And what had happened is over the years, I had let some of those systems erode, and I guess lazy or just started to let some of those things slip away. So what I did was I went in and I kind of just tweaked and made minor adjustments. I ended up getting rid of a lot of contractors, outsource partners that I had worked with for years. Just said, you know what? You're not doing this on a pro level. You're done. Brought in a whole new team. Did the same thing on the employee end, had to really go back and look at who my employees were. And then I had to look at my customer. So I started saying no to 9 out of 10 inbound leads because they weren't my ideal customer. And what that did was that created for me the ability to work a lot less and still make the same income I had always made. And that's when I really realized, oh my gosh, I'm onto something here that I can put out there for other people. And that was really the epiphany that led to me, you know, saying, hey, I am going to write a book and I am going to put this out there because other people are so close. And that's your struggling listeners. You know, you guys are out there, and probably one of the biggest mistakes you're making is not hiring a coach or a mentor to help you see from outside looking in. So one of the biggest game changers for me was, and probably the biggest game changer, was when I joined a paid mastermind community and got around like-minded entrepreneurs. It blew my mind to see my circle of influence, which I feel like was always fairly strong, was did not necessarily understand how I was wired, why I did what I did. Once I got around a group of people who kind of all had those same visions of moving fast, moving forward, taking risks, having wins, and then the ability to bounce my ideas off of somebody else who maybe 2 or 3 months ago had been through the same scenario. So what happened was I learned from other people's mistakes. I leveraged their failures to create my own successes, and vice versa. They were using mine as well. So the power of many minds is better than the power of one. Yep. So whether that frames out as a one-on-one coach, like I have one-on-one clients, or whether that frames out as a group of people that are in a mastermind going after a common goal, your people that are struggling, one of the biggest things they can do is take a hard look at what they're doing, because their business is probably pretty good. If they're surviving, their business is close. It's just a matter of taking it to the next level. And what you find is when you do that, if you do it right, if you open up and you become coachable in the sense that you don't shut the comments down, you take them, you process them, you do what makes sense, you're going to find that you're probably going to spend less money in the business. You're probably going to work less. And the out product is you're probably going to make more money. And that in and itself alleviates a lot of the pressures. But the other thing is just slow down. We tend to, as humans, when things get stressful and tough, we tend to move faster. And I was just telling somebody the other day, when I have my best, most productive days, I almost feel like I'm working in slow motion. Mm-hmm. And then I look back at that day and go, wow, what I covered and got done in this day was so much. And then I look at one of those not so good days, and I realize that when that day broke down was when I let my mind get turned into that the dysfunctional chaos that the people get into when they get the stress. When you let that happen. So the way you counter that is by figuring out things like morning routines and stuff like that are good. For me, it's writing it down. So I absolutely frame out. I'm looking at it right here. I have my day framed out. Like right now, this hour, I'm here with Mark. So there, my phone's on airplane mode. I mean, I never put my phone on airplane mode, but when I'm in this hour right now, you have my undivided attention. So there's no interferences coming in. Now, is that perfect? Absolutely not. I've got kids in school. My phone has to be on because if something happens, they're going to call me. So it's not like you can completely unplug from society. So I don't want you to get the wrong idea, but you can definitely put the checks and balances in place to work intentional. And then the other thing is we talk about with people that I work with, I always try to every week pick one big thing. Like, what is the one non-negotiable I'm going to get done this week? And it doesn't have to be like, I'm going to make $1 million. It can be, when I launched my podcast, it was, I'm going to get Libsyn set up this week. So that week, every day, there was parts and pieces that went into that. So if you can do that, and then you add the sum of all the parts, that's when your business will start to explode. It's not the big step. It's all of the baby steps. But what's really important, and this is, again, where a coach or mentor can help, or a program like mine or another program, whatever you're using, is make sure that every action you take is intentional. And it's an alignment with your ultimate goal. So when you win the day, meaning every day, if you make it a goal to win every day, which you're not, but you're going to win more than you're going to lose, and every day chip away at a piece of that goal, and then you look back, you're going to go, wow. Matter of fact, Brendan Bouchard just put something out. I don't know if you know Brendan Bouchard, but he just put something out yesterday, came across my Instagram, where he was talking about that. If you're not seeing success, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep at it. Be consistent, because it's the consistency over the long term that pays off. Consistent action is going to lead to positive results. Inconsistent action is going to lead to inconsistent results. And then you're going to end up being a statistic, and you're going to end up being stressed out, and you will never have the lifestyle you want. You will never have the business you want. And you end up in that proverbial hamster wheel that most people end up in. And that's just because they're out there trying, and they're trying hard, but they're too random. They're all over the place.
Yep. And a lot of really awesome insights that Tim mentions. The calendar, I use the calendar app to schedule my day hour by hour. I use that instead of writing it down, just because for me personally, it's easier to change if something happens. But the idea of doing hour by hour throughout the day, 15, 30 minute chunks, will make a big difference for your productivity, and surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Tim mentioned the mastermind, also coaching. I help people with their podcast and YouTube. So if you guys want to schedule a free strategy call with me, that's markcabrera.com/strategy, or text the word strategy to 31996 for anyone who's interested in that, because I've been coached, and that's allowed me to become a better podcaster, better content creator, better content marketing. So really getting help from people is such a big step to achieving success.
Absolutely. And add to that, work on your strengths, not on your weaknesses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really great insight.
So many people tend to work on their weaknesses. And you really, in most instances, if you sit down and take the time to figure out what you're worth per hour, which a lot of people have a very hard time doing that, because they don't give themselves enough credit for what they're really worth. If you figure out what you're worth per hour, and then every single thing that comes across your desk in the course of a week that you handle, you can go and you can analyze that. And this becomes very black and white. You can say, okay, how much could I outsource that for? And this was the eye-opening thing for me, is when I outsource stuff, not only do they do it cheaper than I can, they also do it better, because I can't be good at everything. And that's just like Mark was saying, he works with people in a specific niche where he's a chapter ahead of them. He can help them in that game. But if he works with somebody in some other niche, he's not going to be as successful. That's why there's so many people that specialize. So yeah, so much good stuff. And everything he said makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and when it comes also to the weaknesses and strengths, sometimes like there's a strength that you don't fully know how to tap into. So, for instance, what I'm doing, I've done like coaching for podcasting already. I've done coaching for YouTube already, as in like I've had coaches. That's like what I'm trying to say here. And you can see in the results, my next coach is going to be someone on Pinterest. So you'll be seeing the difference that makes, because just having a coach is so essential. And I feel like it does take you from struggling to thriving, because I feel like you go from like having no idea what to do to really being able to thrive. And I feel like coaching is such an important topic in masterminding. So I'm wondering if you could share with us when you decided you were ready to make those investments, and your thoughts for people who maybe they've heard of coaches or mastermind groups and they're not sure if it's worth the investment, when you could just like read books and buy cheap training courses instead.
Yeah. So, okay. So I was that guy, right? I wasn't paying for a coach here. You know, I coach youth sports year round. So I've always coached other people. I've always understood the value of coaching. I know that athletes, all even off season, they hire a coach or a personal trainer. I know actors hire coaches. So all these different successful, world-renowned celebrity type people, big time influencers, are hiring coaches to get better. They're doing it at a pro level, but they're trying to get to that elite level. And that's something that I think you need to realize is, as an entrepreneur, no matter what you do, you are a professional. And in order to best serve your clients and best work with your mission and your vision as to where you're trying to get with life, the impact you're trying to make, if you can be your best self, then you can impact, you can help more people. You can, and obviously a byproduct is make more money. So when you're any backwards, everything's best. Move forward, and then just for that, Al has the ability looking in to see something that you may not be able to see, and that's very, very powerful. So that's to that end. But for me, I was reading a bunch of books, and I was trying to frame out my new practice. I was trying to figure out how I was going to manage clients, how I was going to do this. I was reading a bunch of different books by coaches and things like that, trying to become an expert on it. And I was investing a lot of time, and then I found one book that really hit me. So I ended up, did something I'd never done before. Pulled out a pen, I started writing in the book. So, well, okay, because this person actually got, like, we were on the same wavelength. So I ended up reading it, but it was a book called 6 Months to Six Figures by Peter Voogt. So I read the book and filled it out. Next thing I know, I ended up somehow at the end of it, I downloaded something. So I ended up on his email list, got an email, got invited to a webinar, hopped on a webinar. It was him and another guy who I had no idea who it was. In the webinar, I ended up signing up, filled out an application, ended up having an interview, and ended up in a mastermind group. That was my first paid mastermind. Showed up at that first meeting on a Zoom call, and it was like, wow. It just blew my mind. Well, then as things go, so that guy who I had like bought his book and read his book, now I'm in his inner circle. I could text him right now and get a response back. That's how close you are. And that, and you know, and here's a guy who's out there and just really living life, and the distance from A to Z is not that far, but working with those people and being able to, you have to understand the food chain. So, like for instance, if I know how to do like what we talked about YouTube, so if I know how to, or Pinterest, so if you know how to do Pinterest on a novice level, and then you hire a coach who's going to teach you how to do it on a pro level, who's hired a coach that's going to teach him how to do it on a Hall of Fame level. Yep. You see how that works?
Yeah.
So what happens is, by working with the coaches, you're expanding your network of resources, and you're instantly upgrading your ability to access not all the information that's out there that doesn't work, that's a bunch of BS that's out there, yeah, just somebody can make a buck, but you're accessing real tangible information from somebody that has actually lived it, who has actually gone out and learned for themselves, has actually had successes and failures, and now they're downgrading that to you or downloading that to you, and then you're going to turn around and you're going to hand it down to somebody else. And yep, that's the growth process. So over the period of time, you may be getting coached on Pinterest this year, and next year you may be coaching other people on Pinterest.
Yep.
And that's how fast it goes.
Yeah, and you could also find a coach who knows their stuff but doesn't charge like super high prices. Like I, for instance, do $300 a month for 2 30-minute calls, but like some of the coaches I've hired, like it's added up to a lot more than that over time. So that is another insight where you go for a pro coach who's learned from elite coaches, and that's going to really help you get all the insights you need for a lower price. Because I know, like, I've seen the $2,000 training courses, the like $25,000 mastermind, the like $2,000 for an hour of coaching time. But there are options there that are not as expensive, but do give you a very promising result from it.
You have to work at your level. You can't be intimidated by what somebody else is doing. And I have spent a tremendous amount of money on personal development. Yeah. And I can't speak enough to the return on investment. A good rule of thumb, though, is when you invest money, you should expect to get at least 10 times the value back. So if you invest $3,000, then you should be seeing $30,000 in the way of returns. And that's a good when you're setting your prices as somebody that's providing the value, and also when you're out there looking for somebody, that's kind of a good rule of thumb. And that's at least. You will get a lot more than that if you work with somebody that's really good, but that kind of gives you a gut check to where you're at. So like if you spend $300 and you multiply that by 10 and it's $3,000 and you get one high ticket client that's worth $3,000, and that coach has done his job for you in that end. So that hopefully that helps your listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like it is something people should invest in eventually. I've certainly done it. It's no secret at this point in the episode, I am a coach. So the strategy link, markberry.com/strategy will be in there, or text strategy to 31996. Tim is also a coach. He has a great resource for you, the 10-factor personal assessment. Tim, I wonder if you could just like share a little bit of that resource with us and some of the other places we could find you.
Absolutely. So the best place to find me is just go right to my website where you can get access to everything. And that's the 10factor.com. So that's T-H-E and then the number 10, F-A-C-T-O-R.com. When you go to the website, there will be a pop-up there where you can get access to the 10-factor personal assessment that Mark spoke of. And what that is, there's 9 pieces to it. And it goes through 9 pieces of your life and your business. And you go in and it's a self-scoring exercise, and you go in, it's 45 different things that you go in and you rate yourself, and it talks about, you know, where your brand authority and where you're at on, you know, in terms of the different parts and pieces of your business, in terms of your circle of influence, and all the parts and pieces that you have to add together to be successful. And what it does is it gives you the opportunity to, you're going to score low. I still score low on it. It's designed that you're going to score low, because if you're honest with yourself. So right. It's not something where you want to go in there and there's no reason to fluff it up. You want to give yourself an honest assessment of where I'm at right now. And then what that does is once you can sit there and look at it, you can look at this piece of paper, and then you can go through and you can say, okay, so if I work through each one of these 9 pieces and I build them out independently over time, that's where you're engineering your success. And that's what's going to happen is as you culminate each one of those and grow, you can't do it all at once. And again, that's where the coach helps, is they can help kind of take all that information and say, okay, let's put this in a logical, tactical, you know, approach where we can go through and we can lay out your success blueprint, which you also get in my book, which is a blueprint, a roadmap that leads you through the whole process.
Tim, my man, really awesome stuff. Thank you for sharing that resource with us and all the great insights throughout our time together. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Absolutely, Mark. Pleasure to be here. Hope we help these guys today.